Jesus, what do you think about when you think about Jesus? Let's begin in Mark chapter 1. And as you're turning to Mark chapter 1, by way of encouragement to everyone, welcome. We have a number of first-time visitors in our assembly, a number of returning visitors. We are happy that you are here and happy that so many of our members are here this morning. We have been reading the Bible together here at Annandale. We are following a chronological arrangement of God's Word, and we have just begun reading the New Testament. And so we're about a week in to reading the Gospels, which are about Jesus. And so as we think about the question, what do you think about when you think about Jesus? This morning I want to give you a foundation of things that I want to encourage you to think about when you think about Jesus. And as we continue to read the Gospels together, you can take this foundation and you can build upon it. If you're visiting with us, as you continue to read the Gospel accounts of the life of Jesus, you can take this foundation and you can build upon it. And so number one, as we think about Jesus, we should think about the truth that Jesus is Jehovah. Jesus is Yahweh. Jesus is the I Am. And so in Mark chapter 1, Mark begins his gospel by saying, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets." In verse 2, he quotes Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. And as we continue reading the gospel accounts, what we see is that Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 is about the son of Zacharias and Elizabeth, the ones that we read about in Luke chapter 1. And so they have a son whose name is John, and he is most commonly referred to throughout the New Testament as John the Baptist. And so John the Baptist is the fulfillment, verse 2, of Malachi 3, verse 1. "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you." And then verse 3 quotes Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. Isaiah 40, verse 3 says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord," all caps. And that all caps Lord in our English Bibles is calling attention to this Hebrew verb that literally means to me, it to be. It is a word that is four letters, YHWH, sometimes referred to as the tetragrammaton. It is sometimes translated Yahweh, sometimes translated Jehovah. Transliteration is the process of converting a word from one alphabet to another. And so as you look at the Hebrew word Jehovah or Yahweh, the Hebrew alphabet, to me, it just looks like a bunch of markings, right? And then you transliterate that word into Greek, and the Greek alphabet is different from ours. And then you translate the Hebrew or the Greek word, you transliterate that word into our English, and you get Jehovah or Yahweh. There is no J in Hebrew, and so Jehovah is the Latinization of this Hebrew word. And so the American Standard Version of 1901, it would say Jehovah from Genesis through Malachi. The Legacy Standard Bible uses Yahweh. Most of our English translations uses this all cap L-O-R-D. And in the preface of your English Bible, it will explain that this is the personal name of the true and living God. And so Mark's gospel begins, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, of Yahweh, of Jehovah, make His path straight. And so as we continue reading the Gospel of Mark, and as we read Matthew and Luke and John, what we see is that John the Baptist, he prepared the way, he made the way straight for Jesus of Nazareth. Who is this Jesus? First and foremost, when we think about Jesus, we need to think about Jehovah, Yahweh, the great I Am. Secondly, as we think about Jesus, we need to think about Elohim. And so as we go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and as we remind ourselves that the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And so in the beginning, God. And the word for God in Hebrew, transliterated into English, is the word Elohim. And so in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Then, verse 3, God, Elohim, said, let there be light, and there was light. And so we turn our attention now to the Gospel of John. And this is how the Gospel of John begins. The Gospel of Mark begins calling attention to the personal name of the true and living God. That John the Baptist would prepare the way for Jehovah, that he would prepare the way for Yahweh, that he would prepare the way for the great I Am. Who is this Jesus? In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Here's how John begins his gospel about Jesus of Nazareth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so this Word who is God, who made all things, verse 3, this Word, verse 14, He became flesh. He became flesh, and He dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only, singular, unique, one of a kind, as the only begotten of the Father. And when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, He was full of grace and He was full of truth. And so John, the fulfillment of Malachi 3 verse 1, the fulfillment of Isaiah 40 verse 3, the one that was appointed by Yahweh to prepare His way, John bore witness of Him, of this one who became flesh. And he cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Well, in point of fact, from reading the first three chapters of the Gospel of Luke, we see that John the Baptist is about 6 months older than Jesus of Nazareth. And so how could John the Baptist say of Jesus of Nazareth, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Well, because of the truth of the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Who is this Jesus? Well, he is Jehovah. He is Elohim. And of his fullness we have all received in grace for grace for the law. And here's the first time the word Jesus is connected to the word in the Gospel of John. Verse 17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Who is this Jesus? My personal favorite verse in all of the Bible that speaks to Jehovah Elohim, that speaks to Yahweh God, is Jeremiah 10, verse 10. There are many, but this is my personal favorite. And so for your consideration this morning, as we are laying a foundation of things that we ought to think about when we think about Jesus. First and foremost, Jesus is the God whose name communicates that he has no beginning and he has no end. He is from everlasting to everlasting, the great I am. This Hebrew verb that means to be. And so in the beginning, God, in the beginning, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. John 1, 1-18 declares that Jesus is the Word who became flesh. But before he became flesh, he was in the beginning with God. He is God, and that he is the maker of all things. Jeremiah 10, verse 10, but the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, he is the true Elohim. He is the true God. He is the living God. He is the everlasting King. At his wrath the earth will tremble, and the nations will not be able to endure his indignation. Who is this Jesus? When we think about Jesus, first and foremost, we need to think he is Jehovah. He is Elohim. He is, number three, the seed of. He is the offspring of. John 1, verse 18, declares that Jehovah, that Elohim, that he became flesh and he dwelt among us. And when he did that, he was the only begotten God. He was the only begotten Son of God. And so we've looked at the beginning of Mark and we've looked at the beginning of John. Now let's look at the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew. And so at the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew would say that this is the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And the first thing that you need to know about this Jesus is that he is the son of David. And the second thing you need to know about this Jesus is that he is the son of Abraham. And so what is the genealogy of Matthew? Matthew 1, 1 through 17. What is it communicating to us about this Jesus? Well, it is communicating to us that he is a descendant of. He is the offspring of. He is the seed of David. And the reason why that matters so much is because God made some precious promises to David that took the form of a covenant in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And when we come to the time in which Jesus of Nazareth was born, there was this great hope, there was this great spirit in the air, there was this great expectation that Jehovah Elohim, that Yahweh God, the true and living God, that he was going to raise up a son of David who would come and who would be not only the king of the Jews, but who would be the king of kings. And so first and foremost, as we are searching for a king, if you will, the first thing that we have to determine is whether or not this person is a direct descendant of David. And so that is how the Gospel of Matthew begins. Matthew, a Jew, writing to Jews about a Jew, begins with this Jew's family. And he traces his family back to Abraham, the one in whom some precious promises were made in Genesis 12 that concerned his family, his offspring, his seed, that take the form of a covenant later, that are repeated to his sons, Isaac and Jacob and Judah, and that are repeated to David himself. And so the Gospel of Matthew contains a genealogy. The Gospel of Luke, it begins with Zechariah and Elizabeth and the birth of John, and it quickly segues to Mary and the birth of Jesus, and then John is born, and then Jesus is born, and then immediately after all of those things take place, we find another genealogy, a genealogy of Jesus in Luke the 3rd chapter, beginning in verse 23, that continues in verse 38. And I might just point out to you in Luke chapter 3, in verse 23, at the beginning of this genealogy, that Luke himself alludes to, he draws our attention to the truth of the person of Jesus as it pertains to who he really is. That he is Jehovah, he is Yahweh, he is the great I Am who inhabits eternity, who is from everlasting to everlasting. Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being as was supposed. As was supposed. This seed of is significant because of David. It is significant because of Abraham. But it finds its most significance in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, verse 15. In Genesis, the 3rd chapter, and in verse 15, we have the first promise that Jehovah God is going to become flesh and dwell among us. And so in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, after Adam and Eve have sinned, and after, as you'll notice in verse 14, the Lord God, Yahweh God, Jehovah God speaks first to the serpent, and then to the woman in verse 16, and then to Adam in verse 17. Notice the significance of the language in verse 15. I will put enmity between you, the serpent, and the woman. And I will put enmity between your seed, the seed of the serpent, and her seed, the seed of woman. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Who is this Jesus of Nazareth? He is the son of David, to be sure. He is the son of Abraham, to be sure. But he is the son of woman in a special, unique, one-of-a-kind way. And so as we think of seed of, we need to think of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And we need to see the truth that the rest of the Bible is the fulfillment of that promise that God made from the beginning. And so now we turn our attention to Matthew chapter 1 as we continue to lay a foundation for who Jesus is and what we ought to think about Him when we think about Him. Matthew chapter 1. Who is this Jesus? He is Jehovah. He is Elohim. He is the seed of David and of Abraham and of woman. Who is this Jesus? He's not just another Jew born to a couple of Jews. And Jesus' birth is such a miraculous event. That an angel of God was sent to Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, to talk to him about his earthly mother, Mary. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, in the normal process of how a child is conceived and then born into the world, before they came together, she was found with child. And she was not found with child as a result of coming together with Joseph. She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, he was minded to put her away secretly. Because in Joseph's mind, he has been betrayed by her. She has cheated on him with another man. And in that process of fornication, sexual immorality, she is now with child. But Joseph loves her and he doesn't want to destroy her life. And he's embarrassed by it all. And so he's determined that he's just going to put her away secretly. And so he's still thinking about all these things as one would. And while he was thinking about these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Verse 23, a quotation of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us." When we think about Jesus, we need to think about the truth that he is from everlasting to everlasting. He is the great I Am. He is the God who created the heavens and the earth. But this God who inhabits eternity, in time he chose to become flesh and dwell among us as a seed of David, as a seed of Abraham, as the seed of woman, Genesis 3 verse 15. That would go to war with the serpent and his seed, and who would overcome. Who is this Jesus? He is Emmanuel, God with us. There is so much significance to that, but by way of just introducing this for your consideration and your thinking as we continue to read, I want you to think about the simplicity of this. In the Old Testament, God was above his people. In Jesus, he was with them. Emmanuel, God with us. When you think about Jesus, I want to encourage you to think about the truth of what his name literally means. And so as we stay in this account of the angel speaking to Joseph, the angel says, "Listen, Mary hasn't been unfaithful to you. Mary has not committed sexual immorality. I know that you are just. I know that she is just. All of heaven knows who you are and who she is. And so here's what you need to know. You need to know that what is conceived in her, who is conceived in her, is of the Holy Spirit. And she's going to have a son, and you're going to name him Jesus. And the reason why you are going to name him Jesus is because the name Jesus is a transliteration of words that as we continue to trace them back to their origin is the Hebrew word Joshua, which is a compound word that consists of the personal name of God, Jehovah, Yahweh, the I Am, and the word salvation. You are going to call his name Yahweh, Jehovah saves. And the reason why you are going to call him that is because that's who he is. He is Jehovah. He is Yahweh. He is the great I Am. He is the only begotten God. He is the only begotten Son of God. And as Jehovah, as Yahweh, as the great I Am in the flesh, here is what he is going to do in the flesh as Jesus. He is going to save his people from their sins. This is who Jesus is. He is Jehovah God, the true and living God. He is the seed of David, the seed of Abraham, the seed of woman. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And he is the Savior. As we continue to read the Gospels together here at Annandale in October and November, and as we turn our attention to the remainder of the book of Acts in November throughout December, as the Lord wills, I want to encourage you to take this foundation and to build upon it. And I want you to see throughout the Gospels how Jesus reveals himself as the true and living God. I want you to see how Jesus reveals himself as the creator and the maker and the sustainer of all things. I want you to see how Jesus reveals himself as the son of David and as the son of Abraham and as the fulfillment of the seed promise in Genesis 3:15. I want you to see how there are those in Jesus' life that come to recognize him for who he is in truth. That he is God with us. And when they have that recognition and that realization, I want you to think about how they reacted to him. I want you to think about how they treated him when they came to that realization about the truth of who he is. And I want you to see that when they came to understand who he really is, that what they did because of their understanding of who he is that they changed his posture toward him, which is by definition worship. Why did they worship Jesus and why did Jesus receive worship? Because of who he is. And I want you to see as Jesus lived and as he taught and as people drew near to hear what he was saying and as they observed his person, that what they saw in him was something wholly unique and different. What they saw in him was absolute holiness and righteousness and justice and goodness. And what we see people doing that came to understand who he is we see people from the beginning of the Gospels to the end of the Gospels and throughout the remainder of the New Testament, we see people who came to the realization of who he is calling out to him for salvation. Number 77 in the supplement. Is a plea. This hymn is a plea. It is a plea to Jesus that He would let us come to know Him. And at the end of the day, and I mean literally, at the end of the day, the final day, all that is going to matter for any of us is whether or not we know Him. And more importantly than that, whether or not He knows us. And this is why He came. So that we might know in full assurance of faith who Jesus is. And so that we might respond to Him the right way. And so God bless us as we continue to read about Jesus, that God would let us to come to know Him. Let's stand together and sing number 77.